Coming up this week on the Course of Life podcast, we're looking back on a busy week in sports, Waste Management Open Week, aka Super Bowl Week. Lots going on to talk about in both golf and football to get to, including the return of Brooks to the winner's circle and Tom Brady freaking did it. We get into that. And speaking of football as well, we featured Noah Hester, who you remember from Terry Bradshaw's Family and the Bradshaw Bunch on E! Love that show, love that family. This week, we have Noah's wife, Lacey Hester, joining us. She's also quite the golfer as well, too. We get into her coaching and basketball and golf and food and family and Hawaii and all that good stuff. And we finish with a prop bet roundup, Super Bowl recap, and our important Valentine's Day plans when we hashtag always end with food. All of it brought to you by our friends at Active Body. And Mike, it's that easy. I talk about it all the time. It's the 5 to 10 minute workout that I do each day with the Active 5 unit, and now you can do it too alongside. It's a great way to track your progress and easily keep you, you know, right where you need to be with your daily, weekly, and monthly goals to get in better shape. It's a really simple unit that you can take. It's super portable. It goes anywhere with you. Again, it's the Active 5 unit brought to you by Active Body, and our friends are giving us the promo code COL for 20% off your Active 5 unit. So check out Active Body online and use promo code COL for 20% off of your Active 5 unit today.
And welcome to Course of Life, part of the Morning Read Podcast Network. We are proud to be presented by our friends at Desert Fox Golf and Groove It Golf. I'm Michael, he's Alex. And Alex, it was a weekend that brought me back to maybe about 5 years ago, just with everything going on. Let's start at the Waste Management Phoenix Open. Always a fun time during Super Bowl week because we had the return of Brooks Koepka. We had Steve Stricker toward the top of the leaderboard.
We did,
We had Jordan Spieth in the conversation all week after, what did I say last week?
You did. You hinted at the thought of like throwing a dollar on Jordan Spieth, and I joked his odds would be around like 80 or 90 to 1, and we shooed that away. Nonetheless, he found himself in contention as well. He's always just such a lightning rod when he gets into tournaments. True. I feel like he's on that list of maybe 5 or 10 guys where if he's in it, it just kind of it ramps up and doubles the excitement.
Yeah, it was an exciting weekend no matter what, especially with the drivable 17th. A lot of low scores, a lot of birdies. Let's start at the top with Brooks Koepka because he took advantage of 17 on Sunday for his finishing 65 to take this tournament at 19 under, had an eagle there on 17. That was huge for him.
Yeah, he said after that he kind of really revels in the finish on this course. And I know it because I've been there and I know you've seen it many times on TV. It's, you know, 15 is a par five you can get to and two. 16, obviously the stadium par three where you can make a lot of noise with a birdie, the drivable 17th, and then a short par four and 18. So, you know, he said you can go 5-6 under par on like the last 5 or 6 holes here. And he did just that in his Sunday finishing with a charge, taking advantage of the short holes and an unbelievable eagle chip on 17. He showed that he's got the stones. They're back. I don't know how back he is on the back scale, but he's certainly feeling dangerous right now. He's given off the old school of 2-3 years ago, kind of cocky Brooks Koepka swagger vibes right now. It was an interesting win to see on Super Bowl Sunday, to say the least.
Yeah, and he, of course, went nice and low. And Xander Schauffele, who maybe was more favorited, I feel like, coming into Sunday to really pull this out, just couldn't get it done. 2 bogeys on the back nine, which did not help at all. Let's talk Jordan Spieth. Are we disappointed that he went 2 over on Sunday, or are we just surprised that he didn't completely blow up having a position to win again?
Yeah, it does feel like more of the latter, honestly, yeah. Because like I've just been dying to see him resurrect himself back on some leaderboards. This finish was a T4 tie for fourth place in his best leaderboard in a couple of years now. Still, it's been 4 years, Mike. The last time he won, I believe, was that British Open, the Open Championship mm-hmm. victory, yep. where he was walking the putts in. That was the last time he won. It's been that long for Jordan Spieth. He has really fallen through the cave and trying to resurrect his swing in his game. It was good to see him back with that. Saturday was at 61, 10 under par, bogey free, rolling in putts left and right. You're right, little bit of a letdown, but it wasn't a complete meltdown on Sunday. Yeah. So I think there are some good takeaways from him.
Before we get into how our best picks of the weekend did, spoiler, they didn't win. Who do you think has a better yeah. chance of winning a major this year, Jordan Spieth or Brooks Koepka?
Gonna have to go with Brooks Koepka. Though I wish the answer was Jordan Spieth. Mm-hmm. I wish it was. I think the answer is Brooks Koepka, just because we see him big game hunt so often, and like I think almost half of his tour wins are majors. It was yes. almost surprising to see him just win a normal little Phoenix Open. You know, he just mm-hmm. he'll actually win these tournaments too. It's good to see. So I think the answer to that would be Brooks, but. It's fun to play around with, especially, Mike, since we are 2 months away from Augusta, to play around with the idea of Jordan Spieth coming into form for the Masters and potentially making a run there. That only brings more excitement to golf fans springtime.
Let's talk about our best picks of the weekend and how they did. You had Scottie Scheffler, who was flirting with it, finished 16 under, tied yeah. for seventh.
UT guy came up a few short, just lingering. Yeah, and your guy was Rahm. John Rahm was your yep. closest guy. Whip Simpson, not a great week. Missed cut for Sebastian Munoz. A lot of my picks really fell by the wayside. But yeah, Scheffler grinding close to the lead, within one or two shots at a couple points, but just couldn't make the putts when he needed to. So we go another week begging without the W.
Yeah. Let's go across the pond, really across the pond and then some probably. Let's talk about the oil grab in Saudi Arabia, which attracted the likes of Phil, Tony Finau, and DJ. Yes. Also, we need to mention, too, that I think the Marshalls stole the weekend at the Waste Management Phoenix. We had a Marshalls hand in frame showing that the ball was swimming with the fishes.
My goodness.
Yeah, and DJ, of course, just total laser beam onto a Marshall as well out there in Saudi Arabia. The difference is DJ won. So
good call out. Yeah, that Marshall at Waste Management, Mike, he was like doing the swimming motion you would do if you're like in a game of like Pictionary or charades or something like that. Like that's what that motion looked like. It was very funny. But yeah, DJ basically killed a man in Saudi Arabia. The man did not actually die, so everyone can no. calm down with there. But you need to watch the video on our Instagram at COL Podcast. He hit a drive that absolutely sniped a Marshall. I think it hit him in his shoulder, because it did not hit him in his head, because he got up shortly afterwards. Yeah, but
somewhere in his back.
Of all bullets. Mike, you know me as a marshal at the match play. I need to be ready for this in about 7 or 8 weeks. So I'm going to have a head on a swivel every time DJ is driving at Austin Country Club. I got to watch out for myself there.
Yeah, you got to maybe, you know, wear some football pads. Something. You got to protect yourself.
It's always been my dream to get sniped by a Tiger Woods drive. So then he could come over, you know, pat me on the shoulder, sign a golf ball and hand it to me. Like I've been on record and saying I'm willing to take that hit anywhere but my head. I'm willing to take the hit pretty much anywhere. So we'll see if that comes to fruition. But nonetheless, check out our Instagram for DJ almost killing a man. It was quite a snipe. Indeed. And he got the win in Saudi Arabia as well, in addition to just, you know, the pocket change for heading over there at the oil money grab.
Let's talk about this coming weekend. It is the Pebble Beach AT&T Pro-Am without the celebrities.
Yeah, a little luster worn off there, huh?
Yeah.
Not quite the same bite, but.
But it's going to have a full field, which you would expect at Pebble Beach. Dustin Johnson going all the way around the world to come back to play this weekend. I'm just going to say it right now. Just don't put any money on him. I don't think you can win there and then come all the way across the world and win again. I think that's too much.
Oh, but he's won there too. He likes the course. I know, isn't that crazy? This is that the I actually do wonder if he flew commercial, if he flew private. If he flew private from Saudi Arabia to Pebble Beach, that's like the ultimate flex. That's the most expensive private flight I could possibly imagine. You would think he was on a commercial flight, but I don't know, man. You know, when you're playing the way DJ is the last few years, and you take a look at the person on the PGA Tour, he very well may have had his own plane, Mike. He could have been on the tarmac 20 minutes after the last putt dropped in Saudi Arabia heading back here. So you never know how well he could travel across the pond.
It's very likely. Other names in the field, Phil also making the trek all the way back. I'm pretty sure he was in a private jet. Cantley, Berger, yes. Spieth. I'm going to say it right now. I will put money on Jordan Spieth this week.
Get those odds up.
It's happening. So
yeah, I like the confidence in Jordan. Looking at him, I'm looking at Daniel Berker as well too, who I picked last week at the Waste Management Phoenix Open, had a decent showing. This could be the week maybe he gets over the top. He's had some good success here in recent years. Again, picks will be on Twitter, so I'm at Course of Life 1 on Twitter and you're at MWRINC. Wednesday afternoon we'll have our card up for the AT&T Pebble Beach Pro. We just call it the Pro. There's no AM this year, so it's just the Pro. So we'll see you there, Pebble. Great views as always on the water. Definitely always one of the nicest kind of like spectator weekends. I love the shot, Mike, and you'll know this. They do the blimp overhead shot of the like beach by the 18th hole at Pebble mm-hmm. Beach there. And there's like people just walking their dogs, just letting their dogs run free on the beach, just chasing after rocks and birds. And it's a pleasant sight for the eyes on a Sunday.
It's beautiful. It's beautiful. This is why we play golf, for the scenery.
Pretty much. I mean, if you've seen our golf games, you understand why we enjoy as much of the scenery as we can too.
I don't play to put the ball in the hole because that sometimes doesn't happen, but I play for the scenery. Play to get out in nature.
It's all about the photos, right?
To commune with the world.
Speaking of communing with the world, we tune into things outside of sports. We're not just mm-hmm. golfers. We're not just viewers of sports. We watch everything under the sun. So let's get into this week's Tuned In. I'm curious what you got on your list this week coming off of the end of the football season.
So I am still an episode behind, but I am now into WandaVision. I'm about 4 episodes in. I've not seen episode 5. I know episode 5 is supposed to be gargantuanly huge. Maybe by the time the episode comes out, actually probably not. I don't know my schedule. I'm not going to see it yet. It's pretty good. It's pretty messed up, but it's pretty good. So it's a little complicated. Without giving anything away, Wanda and Vision become characters in some 50s, 60s, and 70s sitcoms.
Wow, they're two separate entities. I would not have guessed that. Interesting. So, Wanda and Vision.
Wanda and Vision. They are two separate. Haven't you seen the Marvel movies? Haven't you seen the Avengers? Well, not the Avengers. They're not the Avengers. Or they're in a couple of the Avengers.
This is why we tune ourselves in. So you can tell me everything that I need to be watching because I don't watch anything.
I don't have enough time to tell you everything. So you're just going to have to go spend a weekend binging all the Marvel movies.
Good stuff. My Tuned In this week is a new show on NBC. Starring a guy that's been on TV for a long time now. I was doing the Wikipedia search. I was like, dang, Ted Danson is going on like 3 or 4 decades on television. You originally know him as Sam Malone from Cheers, where everybody knows your name. Shout out Boston, Massachusetts. He was then on Becker for a while as well, too. Great 90s show as well, too. He's had a couple other stints. He was on The Good Place
Which I'm still finishing. I still have a couple episodes left of that one. So
great show. Yeah. And now he's on his newest project, NBC sitcom called Mr. Mayor. It's a really good concept. He just kind of poses the everyday father raising a daughter as well, too, and being mayor of Los Angeles. So he gets himself in a lot of interesting predicaments. You know, as the mayor, you're not quite the like polished, like high scale politician where you're going to these heavy duty meetings. Mayors do lots of really goofy stuff on the job day to day. And we kind of highlight that life of being a politician day to day. It's got him, Bobby Moynihan from SNL, a long time ago as well, in the cast. And it's a funny watch. So I highly suggest Mr. Mayor on NBC.
Let's turn over to this week's guest, Alex. I know you love watching The Bradshaw Bunch on E! Featuring all of Terry Bradshaw's family. You love him so much. You love that show so much that you got Chef Noah Hester from the show on this podcast. And now you get to have a conversation with his better half, his wife, Lacey Hester, right? Who isn't she like the true golfer in that pair, right?
I think so. Yeah. Don't say that too loud for Noah. I'm curious. Okay. I didn't really ask about what their competition level is, but Lacey plays a lot of golf. Yeah. When I started following the family and watching the show, I realized that not only do Lacey and Noah live the most amazing existence in Hawaii with their kids as well too. We can't get over how beautiful their views are, but she plays a lot of golf, has a really fun crew. She talks about golf, coaching basketball, family, Bradshaw's funny moments with Terry, and a very interesting story about a football player we might talk a little bit about later on the podcast as well too. So good chat here with Lacey.
We will hear all of that in just a moment. But first, as always, we want to let you know this conversation is brought to you by our good friends over at Groove It Golf, makers of the Groove It Golf Brush. It's the year when you need to make sure you're hitting clean shots, Alex, and that means you need clean grooves. And yes, the Groove It brush makes it so easy. So easy. It's got a built-in pump inside the brush that sprays water or cleaning solution right on the club face. Makes it quick and efficient wherever you are out on the course. Plus, instead of it being stuck to your bag, it has a detachable magnet, so you bring the brush to the club instead of the club to the brush. And on top of all this, it's got a 3-year bristle guarantee. If you can wear out the brush head cleaning golf clubs in 3 years, send it back and Groove It will get you a free replacement. Now that is reliability. So prepare to be amazed with the consistency and control the clean grooves will give you. Using your existing clubs with the Groove It, you'll get the spin, trajectory, and consistency you're looking for. So head on over to grooveitbrush.com and get your Groove It brush today.
Next up on the tee from Paradise, aka Hawaii, by way of a family that we've all grown to love on the course of life here, the Bradshaw Bunch in Texas. She's a mother, a wife, who's also quite the athlete and a golfer by hobby as well. It's Lacey Hester joining the course of life. Lacey, how's everything going today?
Hey, everything is great. Another day in paradise.
Absolutely, yeah. I am so jealous of where you are now. Set the scene for everyone. I know you and I were talking about some Hawaii golf that was happening in the month of January right before we hopped on, but where are you located in Hawaii?
I'm up on the mountain in Waimea. It's kind of what I call a cold country, so it's a little chilly here. I don't know, probably 70, which is like freezing for us.
Love that. jackets out for 70 degrees, right?
Yeah.
That's awesome. Cool. So I'm curious, you know, obviously you guys got out there from Texas to Hawaii, you made the move out there and whatnot. Tell me about kind of your earliest memories with the Bradshaw Bunch when it all started. The first things kind of you remember with Tammy and Terry growing up as a kid and where that took place.
Okay. We were in Texas. We all grew up in Texas. And they started dating when I was in middle school. And I remember like thinking it was super cool, and a lot of people around us didn't, like my age kids had no idea who he was, but I thought it was cool.
Right.
I loved football, so I was like, oh yeah, I know that. And yeah, he used to make fun of me all the time because I played sports and would wear like basketball shorts around and like big tennis shoes, and he'd be like, why, you look sloppy, you look sloppy. Because I was such a tomboy.
That's funny. Were you a big athlete as a kid? What were your sports that you liked to play the most when you were a kid?
Yeah, I played basketball and volleyball, and I played those in college also. So just basically since I was like 5, I've been playing basketball. And then I did some track. Like, I was supposed to go with Terry to an interview with Tom Brady, but I couldn't go because I had a track meet, and he'll never let me live that one down. He's like, you missed that for a track meet?
Oh, man. Do you remember what year that was or how long ago that was?
Yeah, that was in 2005.
Oh, wow. Right after the first 3 Super Bowls, too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Myself being a lifelong Patriots fan, extremely jealous, and I'm borderline pissed that you missed out on that opportunity. Sorry about that one.
That's what everyone said. Like, what are you thinking? I don't even think I won a medal at that track meet either.
Nice. And so basketball, what was your position growing up?
A small forward, and that's pretty much it. Yeah.
Yeah. And I saw you recently got the opportunity to even do some coaching as well, too. I did as well. I played a little high school basketball, and like post college, I got to like reunite that love for the game and coach some kids like at the YMCA level. But tell me about the team that you coached and what that experience is like for you.
That's awesome. Yeah, I coach the girls varsity team here at a high school. I've been the head coach for the last, this will be my third year as head coach. Before that, I was the assistant and JV coach. So 6 years total now coaching at this high school. They're just a really good group of girls. There's not a lot of youth sports here, so a lot of my kids pick up a basketball for the first time as freshmen. So it's a big learning curve there. But, you know, the last 2 years we've been very successful. We won our island the first year I was coach and then got second place last year. And then we're hoping to do something good this year as well.
That sounds so much cooler when you say you won your island instead of saying like you won your county or you won your league. It just sounds a lot better.
Yeah.
It's got a nice ring to it. That's cool. Love the basketball background. So do you have specific like pro or college teams that you root for? It says in your bio on Instagram, Lacey Hester, that you're a basketball fanatic. Who are your teams that you like?
Yeah. I'm more of a player, individual person. I really like, you're going to laugh at me. Don't laugh at me. You can laugh. Utah Jazz is my favorite team to watch play, to be honest.
Nice. Love that. So are we talking like current Donovan Mitchell, or are we like going back to like Stockton Malone days when you were a kid?
Yeah. I mean, you got to love the greats, Stockton Malone days, but you know, I really like them because they've always been a fundamental team. Even when they had the greats on the team, but then they went through their years of not really having any superstars, but they still could win games because they played as a team. Whereas, you know, there's a lot of like the Nets now, they have their super team, and the Golden State have their super team, and that was more just individual players just being really good. But the Jazz has always relied on a team.
Yeah, and I think you're seeing a little resurgence of that with the Jazz in the last few years too. So that's something to be excited about there. Nice. Love that. So basketball was obviously a big part of your childhood. I'm curious, growing up as a kid, did you play a lot of golf? Do you remember first picking up the golf club as a kid, or when did that first hit you?
You know what's funny is I didn't start playing golf until I moved here like 5 years ago.
Wow. Okay.
And I was terrible. That was the most frustrating sport I've ever tried to play. But now I love it. And play it as much as I can.
Yeah, and obviously you're in an amazing spot. The photos that you post on Instagram have me jealous on a regular basis. Against Lacey_Hester_ on IG if you want to check out her golfing expeditions as well too. I'm curious what maybe golf meant to you, especially like in the past year. You know, for a lot of people, I've been playing it my entire life, but I kind of had a newfound love for it when I realized it was one of the only things I could go outside and like do safely for a certain time period. What is kind of golf meant to you, like especially in this past year?
Oh my gosh, so much. I can't go to the gym, you know, I can't play basketball, can't play volleyball, so thank goodness I have this competitive thing that I can still do. And we do it as a family, which is really fun. So when we were in Texas, we went out and did like, you know, golf trips. We went to Florida and played concessions like every day for a month. And then, you know, when they come out here, my parents, we play every day out here. And it's just really great to still have that and be able to do it safely during the pandemic. And we're not stuck in the house because we have that outlet, which has been really awesome.
Yeah, it's just been so refreshing on so many levels. Agree with you there. Let's talk about your golfing crew as well, too. I know you mentioned you play with the family, and I've seen you have, y'all have tons of fun out there on the course, like way, way more than the average group does. I'm curious, is it always a party scene like that, or is that just kind of like once in a while?
No, every time, always a party. I've actually gotten really lucky and found this really awesome group of girls to play with who are all, not only are they like hilarious and super fun, but they're all badass golfers. So, you know, we can go out there and be competitive, or we can go out there and just play around. And it's really fun. And lots of little airplane bottles are involved.
Yeah, definitely. It's always a nice skill when you can just rip a drink or a shot and then rip a drive right afterwards and make it look real professional. There's something to be said about that skill. And the one thing that I have to comment on is the music that you guys get going on the golf course. First, I want to ask you, what's your favorite type of music that you like to play on the course? Because I've seen a lot of variety from your crew.
Yeah, we definitely have a variety. We do a lot of like fun country, a lot of like old alternative, like 90s alternative, 90s hip hop, and then, you know, the great hair bands, 80s metal. Just anything we can do loud, really, which is probably the opposite of what we're supposed to be doing.
It's okay. You got some real estate out there in Hawaii. It's a little bit different space-wise with what you can do in terms of the noisy output on the golf course. I saw a Backstreet Boys sing along at one point. Are you more Backstreet Boys or NSYNC, girl?
You know, I actually didn't listen to either as a child. I had an older brother who would shun me if I did that, so I was like Sublime and stuff. He would make fun of me. But now, I don't know, maybe... I actually couldn't tell you. I don't know any of their songs. I probably don't know the difference.
That's great. The one other music thing that you posted that I got a kick out of is you were going down memory lane with some pop punk music from like the early 2000s as well, too. That definitely resonated with me, so I appreciated seeing that that was on your playlist recently, too.
Yeah, I had to like flip my bangs a couple times, you know, and relive the lip piercing days
in
black hair.
It's so awesome. I told you, myself and my wife, we still get to go see bands like Good Charlotte and like Simple Plan are still playing shows now. It's a big time throwback vibe if you get the opportunity to do it.
That's awesome. I totally would. Yeah. A lot of good memories.
Love it. Again, it's Lacey Hester we're talking with. She's part of the Bradshaw Bunch. They're on the E! Network. Season one's in the books. And I know that season two sounds like officially a green light from everything I've heard. Kind of what have you heard and what's the timeline looking like for like filming? Are there any plans? Have we talked about anything for season two of the Bradshaw Bunch yet?
Yeah, so season two is a go for sure. We start filming in March. They're going to actually hopefully film the first couple weeks out here. So maybe get some golf on there.
Nice.
And then we go back to Texas and film, you know, in that location because that's where everybody else lives. So we'll pack up and move there for a few months.
Very cool. I was going to ask if there was some Hawaii on there, and I'm glad the crew is going to make the trip out there. I'm sure they're really dreading making the trip out there to film you guys.
Yeah, that'd be terrible. Yeah.
I think they're going to manage. So I'm looking forward to seeing that. It's yourself and your family. We had your husband, Chef Noah Hester, on a couple months back, and he's an awesome follow as well. One of those accounts where if you follow, you better have just eaten because he's going to make you very hungry. Now, you have the privilege of getting to all this food that we just see on Instagram. My first question is, how do you contain yourself with everything that he makes either at his restaurant or at home?
Well, so the thing is that I also just drool over it through Instagram because he's not cooking.
He
works a lot. And so when he's here, he just wants the simple things like a frozen burrito and a frozen pizza, which I can provide, I feel good about. But when he does cook, like if we have company and stuff, man, it's the best nights. I eat all of it, everything.
That's great. What's a great, let's see, we talked a lot of fish and seafood with him specifically, and he talked about the intricacies of all the different types of fishes that he gets himself. What's a good, like maybe fish or seafood dish or something that he's made recently?
Yeah, he makes a really great like bouillabaisse, like seafood soup or cioppino. I always crave that. That's so delicious. It has a bunch of everything like mussels and clams and pieces of white fish and shrimp, all the good stuff in it.
Yes.
Kind of a tomato-based soup. That's one of my favorites. He also just does like amazing barbecue. I'm craving his brisket all the time.
Yes, me myself being from Austin, Texas, I can speak to being a brisket super fan. So that's always a good thing to have around as someone with a smoker who can make meat like that. One other thing he brought up in our conversation, which I got to ask about, is he introduced me to something I'd never heard of, which was musubi, a gas station snack. He said it was spam and rice with a little seaweed wrapper. Are you all in on the musubi bandwagon, or are you against it?
No, I'm all in. I'm not a fan of the seaweed wrapper, so I have to take that off because I feel like it smells like the ocean, so that's weird, and I shouldn't go with spam and rice, but I'm all about spam and rice. We love spam out here.
Love that. So you can just pick up, they just have pieces of that in a gas station. How much are those? Like, whoa, a couple of bucks a piece or what?
99 cents or something. Like, super cheap.
I love that. That's so cool. Yeah. Awesome. So Lacey, it's yourself, it's Noah that everyone can look forward to seeing more of on the Bradshaw Bunch. And of course, the little ones as well, who we got to get to. Well, let's first check in on Zuri. Definitely myself and my wife's favorite member of the family to follow. She has the personality. Well, she had the mind of a 19-year-old when I talked to Noah a couple months ago. So maybe she's in her 20s now mentally. But how's Zuri doing? And what's maybe the craziest thing she said recently to you?
She's great, always. She's always in hoots. So funny. I never know what's going to come out of her mouth, which is, you know, good and bad. I'll take her places. I'm like, just don't say anything crazy. Don't admit, you know, don't make me look bad. not that she would make me look bad, but sometimes she tells my secrets.
Yes.
To people. I'm like, oh, no. Let's see. What's the craziest thing she said recently? She's just always got something funny to say. She's loving YouTube right now, and she is so mad at me because I won't let her have a TikTok. So that's our argument right now. She wants a TikTok. I don't think she's pulled up for it yet, but she probably'd have a good one. I don't know.
Yes, she probably would be very entertaining. The thing about Zuri is she just delivers those lines that have you like head turning with your reaction. So I think maybe we should just like stick a GoPro on her, maybe just so I can see everyone's reactions to the things that she says in season two when you film. So you can pass that to the production crew because I know that'll be good content.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, and the Tom Brady comment was really good. That was hilarious.
Nice. And in terms of Jebediah, I know I saw that he had some PGA swag in an outfit that you put on him recently. Has he swung a club yet? Does he have any affinity for the game of golf at all? Or what's his path to being a professional golfer here?
Yeah, I think Zuri might be the one. She wants to play.
Oh, yeah? Nice.
So maybe her game. He doesn't really care right now. He's like a hockey stick.
Nice. Love that. Awesome. So again, it's Lacey, Noah, and Zuri and Jebediah. You'll see them all part of the Bradshaw Bunch on E! Starting filming in March, which is exciting. Is there any timeline for when the season two airs, or are we just going to stay tuned to your socials and see officially when that's going to be?
Yeah, stay tuned. We're hoping late summer, maybe early fall. But yeah, stay tuned. It could all change. The world is so crazy right now.
It is, yeah. I'm glad to have you guys back on the screen, though. Very refreshing family show to watch for people of all ages. Let's get to some quick shots now with you, Lacey, and just go through some other topics I wanted to touch on. A funny theme that had emerged like in the last few months within your family is Rachel. Season one, we were trying to find her a date and things didn't quite work out there. I heard some murmurs that there might be some sort of a campaign to maybe get her in like the Bachelor or Bachelorette franchise. How's everything going with her, and is that campaign still alive, or are we done with that?
Yeah, I think she should be the Bachelorette. Is that right? If it's a girl's Bachelorette,
she should.
Yeah, I think she should do it. I think that'd be fun. But I think she's off the market right now. Spoiler alert. So we'll see how that goes.
Nice. And then I got to ask about you and your background, your love for horses as well, too. Tell me a little bit about the background you have. I've seen lots of photos from you at horse shows. What's your background there? And maybe talk to me about like your favorite personality trait that you love about being around horses.
Okay, well, I do have to be honest with you. Zuri loves horses. I'm scared of them. They're very scary to me. So we do the horses. My parents breed horses. And so they have like 250 horses on their ranch.
Wow.
And Zuri does the showing. So she does halter. And so that's basically as close as I get to a horse. I feel like they can smell my fear and they don't like it either.
I see that. So, yeah.
Yeah. And, but yeah, so I love that she loves it. She's obsessed. She can tell you every breed of horse, every color variety of horse. She can tell you like how old it is, and she's amazing.
That's awesome. Really cool to see that she's adopted that passion. Very neat. And then I got to ask, in terms of golf wise, before we get to our 19th hole question, what are you enjoying about your golf game right now? Is there like a favorite club or a favorite shot you've been hitting a lot of really well recently? Well, what's working for you golf wise as we head into 2021?
Well, my 7-iron is my favorite. Sometimes I'll use that even if I shouldn't be using that. I'm like, I'll hit this twice instead of hitting a wood.
Yeah.
And I just got a new driver, PXG driver. It's amazing. Really love it. I even got it tuned for my weird swing. So I've been having a good time off the tee box with that.
Nice. PXG, you're not messing around, I see.
I've decided to take it seriously.
I love that. Serious to the commitment. And the 19th hole question, like I mentioned, we love to wrap every interview with this. When you get done with 18 on the island, you head into the clubhouse, you got the beautiful sun setting over the big island. What is like your go-to or your favorite 19th hole meal and drink that you like to order after playing?
I like a red beer, so Coors Light with like a shot of Bloody Mary mix and hot wings.
Nice. A lot of spice there. I appreciate that.
Yeah, It's hot. You got to cool off with a beer and then eat your wings.
Definitely. Wings and beer, tried and true combo there. Hey, Lacey, thank you so much for joining us here on The Course of Life. We'll keep tabs and keep updated on your socials as we get closer to seeing season 2 of The Bradshaw Bunch on E! Network. And keep hitting them straight out there.
Great. Thanks so much for having me.
That interview with Lacey Hester is brought to you by our friends at Desert Fox Golf, the makers of the Phone Caddy. The Phone Caddy is a one-of-a-kind fold holder for golfers designed to mount right onto the golf cart. The Phone Caddy works seamlessly with almost any phone model, and it Velcros onto the cart in seconds. Keep your yardage and scoring apps at your fingertips, change music, answer calls and texts, and more, all with the Phone Caddy. It's the most functional way to keep your phone safe and ready on the course at all times. And right now for our listeners, you can save 10% off your purchase with the promo code COURSEOFLIFE. That's 10% off your Phone Caddy, including their patriotic line of phone caddies, with the promo code COURSEOFLIFE. So head on over to their website, desertfoxgolf.com. Use promo code COURSEOFLIFE to save 10% and get your phone caddy today. And we're back. Great interview there with Lacey Hester. Alex, I know you are super excited for season 2. Get to see all of them in Hawaii. That's just a great place to go play golf.
I really feel for that production crew who's like, man, well, you know, we were filming all in Texas season 1. I guess we got to go out and film in Hawaii, you know, and it only seems right, you know, makes sense. So
it's tough life. It's a tough life.
Yes. Yeah, so we'll hopefully get some golf course shots out there as well with Lacey and the family playing on the course. Looking forward to season 2 of the Bradshaw Bunch. Definitely.
Yeah. And if you liked that interview with Lacey, plus everything else we do, and you want to maybe make it possible for us to go to Hawaii, because that would be pretty awesome, go ahead and rate us and subscribe on the podcast app of your choice. Let us know how great of a job we're doing, or tell us all the things we're doing wrong. And, you know, get all that pent up frustration out of you, and we'll forgive you. It's okay. We understand. We're here for you.
Thank you. Appreciate that message, Mike. Yeah. Very kind.
Also, can we just circle back for a moment, Alex, on how Lacey missed an opportunity to meet 7-time Super Bowl champion Tom Brady?
Yes, for a gymnastics meet as a kid. It was at 2005, she said. So that was right after the first 3 rings. Like, you know, that 3-ring career there, right at the beginning, that first Tom Brady career,
that was
a Hall of Fame career in and of itself. He's now compiled a separate Hall of Fame career, like, just individually, like, past age 35. This is an unbelievable world we're living in.
He has won more Super Bowls than any other team, not player, team.
Including the team he played for. It's just like
he's the only quarterback to win a Super Bowl played in his home stadium. Right.
That was cool.
And he's the only Super Bowl. He's the only quarterback to have teammates wear black and white on the field.
Oh, yeah. You liked a few of those calls the other night. Yes, you did. Yeah, those didn't hurt either. It's always nice to have the refs on your side. And we know TB12 is always very friendly with them. He's been very friendly for a long time. I know that for a fact. It was super bittersweet, to be honest. You know, I remember saying last week here that, you know, I'm absolutely rooting for Brady to keep the legacy going, get ring number 7, do it. And I felt that way during the entire game. The difference was, Mike, I wasn't finding myself like having the actual positive, excited reactions when I was watching these Buccaneers scores. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was bittersweet. Melancholy is really the only word. It's like, it was beautiful to see. He's the GOAT. He's our GOAT. But to watch him just so seamlessly roll down to Tampa Bay and take a previously joked upon franchise this quickly to a Super Bowl championship makes him just the GOAT of GOATs, undisputed. It was unbelievable.
I mean, his performance in that first half was just so, it was textbook, right? It was 80% completions from the field, 3 touchdowns. two of them to Gronk. We forget that he came out of retirement for this.
This is just, I'm sorry, Mike. Pardon my language. This is just a nut kick left and right during this entire game for Patriots fans. Not only was it putting the icing on the cake and winning the Super Bowl for Tampa Bay, Champa Bay, whatever name you want to put on it, but it was like, no, not only am I going to go win it, like, dear Bill Belichick, he's basically just penning his revenge list and just checking everything off one at a time. Hey, Bill, not only am I going to go win it in Tampa Bay, I'm actually going to throw a touchdown pass to Gronk, who I brought back out of retirement because he hated playing for you, Bill. Actually, you know what? I'm not going to do it once. I'm going to do it twice in the Super Bowl. And oh yeah, remember Antonio Brown? Remember how you had a week and a half and couldn't stand him and need to get him off your roster? I'm going to resurrect him, make him look like a decent human being. I'm going to get him a Super Bowl touchdown too. And we're all just going to celebrate with our rings in the field afterwards. I can't imagine, Mike, I would have paid good money to have a camera on Bill Belichick Sunday night watching that Super Bowl. I can't imagine the emotions watching that.
I picture Bill Belichick in his one heavy green winter coat with mittens on, sitting in his chair, just like Bernie Sanders, just looking unhappy through the entire game.
Yes. Legs crossed, just very just kerfuffled and extremely annoyed the entire circumstance of what they have to watch. Yeah.
It's just, I mean, it was
Brady versus
it
Bill was, update, Mike, is that was my final note here is the Brady versus Bill update. The Brady versus Bill update is, hey, Bill, you gotta get your ass out of that chair right now and start moving in free agency in the draft, because you got some business to take care of now. You are back on the hot seat because Brady proved that he can do it without you and do it easily. Very shocking.
Yep. You know, I just think of that line from Star Wars. When I left you, I was a student, but now I am the master.
He really is, Mike.
Yeah.
He really is the master. Let's talk about everything else that surrounded this crazy Super Bowl. We talked about prop bets and everything surrounding the game. First, let's get your thoughts on the halftime show. I know you're you're fairly kind of indifferent on the weekend's music. Where do you stand with him and what do you think of the show?
You know, I am a big fan of the song that I told you would be last. And it was
correct. Yep. You did nail Blinding Lights last. I picked it first stubbornly and I was incorrect. Yeah. Yep.
I thought it was a very interesting halftime show. I thought it was well done. I thought it was simplistic. I thought it was nice to see a show in which no one took their shirt off. and the scene, you know, there's a lot of weird reaction going on to the whole piece that he did in the mirror hallway and just everything from a standpoint of someone who's looking at it from production value, that was pretty incredible. That was not something you see the Super Bowl. So I thought that was really cool. I thought the show in general was really well done.
They made a big hoopla about how The Weeknd personally spilt over a bunch of his own money to go into the production of this halftime show. And it did show from a production standpoint. I was very impressed with what he was able to do, kind of considering the regulations at play and how, you know, he maybe couldn't have an army of dancers kind of next to him. They were there on parts of the stage during the show, but he got through his repertoire of hits very nicely. It reminded you he's got a good solid catalog. I enjoyed the show. It seemed to be very polarizing on the internet. I don't know why it was very polarizing. I thought down the middle show. There was nothing crazy about it either way, but I enjoyed myself. Yeah.
Just a reminder to everyone, you spell his name with only two E's.
Yes.
That's right. Let's get into commercials too real quick, because there were some good ones in there.
What did you like?
My favorites were the Four Seasons Total Landscaping commercial for Fiverr.
Yes, I know you love to dig at that campaign anytime you can see one. Shout out to Fiverr. That's like the kind of like the Aaron service app or whatever, right? The marketplace.
Yeah, something like that. I don't know.
Yeah.
The Rocket Mortgage one with Tracy Morgan was also, the two with him were actually really good. The like, are you pretty sure or are you really sure?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. That one was pretty good.
Yep.
I also want to talk about that Bruce Springsteen ad for Jeep.
I saw this. And you refreshed me because I was like, I don't remember seeing this at all. I don't remember this at all. Which I'm like, honestly, I was so tuned out, and I may have had a couple too many in me, Mike. I don't even remember you seeing that be Bruce Springsteen. I didn't even make that connection last night. It was him. So, tell me, break that commercial down for me. Like, what exactly happened in those 2 minutes? Anyway,
So it's a Jeep commercial, first of all. And basically in it, you have Bruce Springsteen monologuing about the middle of America and needing to bring America back together and this need for unity. Oh, and, you know, it's an inspiring message to a certain extent. And it's all being done. It's all filmed at the geographical center of the continental United States, of the lower 48, and where there happens to be a church. And the episode, the commercial has a lot of shots of the church and crosses and white man Bruce Springsteen. And I'm watching this, and as someone who was brought up Jewish, I'm honestly deeply insulted by this ad. We feel the only way to, as they dubbed it, have a reunited States of America, which I thought was also insulting, is that we only have white Christian men.
Yeah.
And that's like, this country is made up of people of different, you know, races, religions, and creeds. You need to show them all. And also, I have no room for hate in my United States. People that hate me for what I am, I don't want here. Yeah, I'm just going to go ahead and say that.
The direction is interesting with how they leaned on that church. You're right. And I didn't even think twice about that church as a structure or anything like that. But also, like, just the timing of this, like, Jeep putting a commercial out like this on Super Bowl Sunday. Like, I understand where the country is right now, but do we really need to be told this, like, in the third quarter of Super Bowl Sunday? Like, when we're all trying to distract ourselves for a few hours and watch a football game? Like, I understand what they were going for, but again, the direction failed.
Yeah.
And then the timing of the message was just off. So I'm just like, no, I just didn't need it, is my bottom line on that.
Yeah. I'm not a fan. And which is too bad, because Bruce Springsteen's just incredible. So
I do. Yeah. I like Springsteen.
Yeah. All right. Let's hit those prop bets. Let's see how we did. I got all the ones pulled up here for you, Alex. First of all, did you break even?
Hell no. There's nothing to pull up, Mike. It was a mess from the start to the beginning to the finish. It began with Eric Church sticking with his sunglasses, his patented look, and it all went downhill from there. The national anthem went over.
Yep.
The M&M's commercial aired immediately. I mean, what else went wrong? I can't even remember the
Ted's. I don't actually think Jim Nance mentioned frontline workers at all during the broadcast.
No. And you're right, it got mentioned before the game, but the bet was after kickoff. So
Did they mention the Patriots? Maybe not until the end of the game.
Because it was on Brady to Gronkowski first touchdown.
Oh, yeah.
You almost said, that's a Patriots playbook right there. Yeah. And that was the only time we heard it. Didn't hear it again.
Blinding Lights was last, so you lost that one. Can't Feel My Face, that was sung, so you got that one.
Yep. Had to get freaking Blinding Lights at the end. Like, should have listened to you there.
And I didn't see what color Gatorade it was because they cut to him late, but he looked pretty translucent. It looked like it was not a colored Gatorade.
It was like blue or purple that went off translucent like that. I think it was blue, and it was a big underdog winner, like plus 700, 7-1 underdog winners. So shockingly horrible performance on my prop bets that I post on Instagram. But nonetheless, you know, win or lose, like you throw yourself in on those random action bets, and it makes for a Sunday evening. I hope everyone enjoyed the evening out there.
You did win a DiGiorno pizza, right?
I did. I'm hounding my friends at DiGiorno, and if they're listening right now, before we get to our hashtag always in with food, I'm coming for you guys. So I better see something in my notifications real soon. All right, DiGiorno, you're on the clock. Just know that.
All right, let's hashtag always in with food. Let's do it.
Right. Yeah, it's brought to you by Saucy. Promo code Course of Life to get $5 off your first delivery of beer, wine, liquor, snacks. They're in 13 major cities and growing. Promo code Course of Life for $5 off the Saucy app, Saucey, in the Apple Store. Mike, this is that annual reminder, and I feel like I poke you on this every year on the podcast. Mm-hmm. You know it is Valentine's Day this week, right? Yep. You've made all your plans. You're completely done.
All the plans are made. Yeah.
You've already gone to the grocery store and bought a meal. You're going to cook your wife.
Yeah, sure.
Fellas out there, it's at least Tuesday night or Wednesday at earliest. If you're listening to this, you've got like maybe a couple days on Amazon Prime, maybe some flowers if you rush deliver to get shipped by Saturday.
Well, first of all, hold on. You want to ship flowers? Your local small business, Alex. Get them local, get them fresh.
Yeah, you can pick up as well, too. I'm just so ingrained with the name your flowers website and promo code this from some radio show I listen to. I've been sticking those promo codes in for years now. So
what you're saying is you love your wife, but you don't want to spend a lot of money on your wife.
I choose to spend my money as wisely as possible and also give the most heartfelt gifts I can to my
wife. Nice try.
A decent save, indeed. I would say on the bunker scale, it's probably about 15 feet still left for par there. Not a bad save, but I still got some work.
You got out, but you're still in the rough.
Maybe I'll get lucky this weekend. You know, hey, there we go. By the veal, Valentine's Day meal for me, it's probably going to be something seafood or pasta related. That's my wife's usual go-to for something home cooked that I can do to please her. So I'll be doing that in addition to this as well to be determined. Yeah. What about you?
Probably going to do steak. Probably.
True. Yeah.
Always good. I think that of all the things I make, that is what my wife most enjoys me cooking. So,
you know what? That's tried and true. Nice and simple. Been there, done it before. Do it again. Crush that meal for the wife. And we wish everyone and their significant others out there a happy Valentine's Day as well. Speaking of all that food, we've got a great food guest coming up next week, Mike, Ali Khan. We got
back
spring
in the house
trip in a week and a half. So get excited for that. And a whole lot more coming on next week's Course of Life. Everyone have a good week.